This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, great to be with you.
And you know, Bridget, we just got a nice check from Kroger. And people, if they're not familiar with what we're doing, say, well, why would Kroger send Catholic Radio a check? Well, it's because they love us.
Yeah, they do.
Actually, they love all kinds of charities. But we have a program with Kroger. If you go to our website, catholicradioindy.org, you'll see a Kroger Rewards Program logo there. And if you click on that and register your Kroger card, if you have one of those, you probably have it in your pocket or purse or on your keychain, wherever you have it, you register it once. And it's going to ask you what charity you want to support. If you put Catholic Radio Indy, all three words, Catholic Radio Indy in there, then every time you shop, you don't ever have to worry about it again, ever. Every time you shop at any of the Central Indiana Kroger stores, a small percentage goes to Catholic Radio. And does it add up? You bet it does. We've been doing it for less than a year now, and I think probably around $1,000 or so far.
Wow, that's
so
great.
So we've got some good eaters there that are supporting Catholic Radio, and we appreciate that very much. So again, you can register your Kroger reward card. The easiest way is to start at our website, catholicradioindy.org. Click on the Kroger logo. You'll see it in the middle of the page there. And just put in Catholic Radio Indy, all three words, as your charity. And that's it. You're done. Every time you go and buy a can of beans, a gallon of ice cream, whatever it is, a gallon of milk, Catholic Radio gets a small percentage of it. And if everybody does that, it adds up and helps us out a whole bunch. So if you're so inclined, if you're a Kroger shopper, if you have a card, you can help us out that easily.
Yeah, so maybe you can do that as one of your New Year's resolutions if you haven't. Still early in the year. If you haven't done that with Kroger, you might want to think about doing that to help support Catholic Radio. And another thing that you can do in the new year, when I got in touch with our guests here, we talked about things that you could do in 2019, and we thought about talking about discipleship and how you can be a better disciple in 2019. So my guests today for Faith in Action are Ken O'Gorick. He is the director of catechesis for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and along with him is Teresa Inouye. She is an apprentice in the Office of Catechesis, and she is also from the University of Notre Dame. So thank you so much for being our guest today on Faith in Action. Welcome.
Always a pleasure.
And a lot of times people, you know, in Catholic circles, we talk about evangelization, following Jesus, and being a disciple. Maybe what is a Christian disciple, and who's a disciple? And you know, that's kind of a big question.
Sure, Bridget, I'm glad you used the phrase Christian disciple, because discipleship at heart is a relationship between it's a relationship. A Christian discipleship specifically is a relationship between a human person and Jesus, a real relationship, including genuine two-way communication.
But there only were 72 disciples, and they died a long time ago.
Well, I think several of them lived even beyond the age of 72. But yeah, sometimes we think that it was only those folks who had the opportunity to communicate in a genuine way with Jesus, to reach out to him and actually listen to him and hear him. But he's the risen Lord. You know, Jesus is alive. So a disciple, a Christian disciple, is a person who has a relationship with the risen Lord, including sharing thoughts and feelings with him, and listening for the ways that he most definitely reaches out to us through avenues like sacred scripture, sacred tradition, sacramental experiences, and so forth. It's a real relationship.
And I'm really glad that you brought out the idea of relationship, because I think a lot of times as Catholics, I know just my own experience growing up, and maybe the same for you, we learned about God, but it didn't seem like it was communicated, you know, in my Catholic school experience growing up, like in the 70s and 80s, that the relationship was emphasized. And I think that I learned that later, like maybe through a Christ Renews or other kind of encounter experiences. But it's something that we really need to think about. And it was so obvious that maybe it wasn't talked about. You know what I mean? But yeah. It wasn't obvious to, you know, as kids. So talk maybe a little bit about how we develop that relationship. If people may be listening, what is that, and how do I do that?
So definitely, I think there's an encounter with the Lord.
As a starting point,
absolutely. And then having that relationship with one another in an accompaniment way, that we are walking with the Lord, with each other, that there's an intentionality behind that, that we're not just aimlessly wandering, but we're walking towards the Lord, who is both truth, the way, and the life. And when we are walking in what we are learning, both in the head content, but also that heart contact, that continual relationship and conversion towards our God. And then in just that relationship with each other, we're continuing to make disciples, to build that Christian community, to build Christ Church with our brothers and sisters and those who we are close with. And yeah.
Okay, so if you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Ken O'Gorick. He's the director of the Office of Catechesis for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and along with him is Teresa Inouye. She is an apprentice in the Office of Catechesis. So tell us a little bit about yourselves and maybe how you got into this discipleship gig, if you want to call it that.
So thank you for having us. My name is Teresa Inouye, and I am an apprentice in the Office of Catechesis. I've been part of what is called the Notre Dame ECHO program, and it's a two-year service to the church and master's in theology opportunity. And so I'm in my second year. I've been working for the office for about 18 months. And I just have the fortune to be working with parishes and pastors. We have an evangelization contact person for every parish. And these are the people that I've been reaching out to over the last 18 months and just giving ways to form and resources and opportunities for them to be further disciples so that they can make disciples within their parishes.
I'm sure it's really fascinating too in terms of hearing kind of what they're doing and, you know, kind of that two-way, you know, you learn from them and then they learn from you, and then you talk to the next maybe director of evangelization, and then, you know, it just kind of keeps mushrooming out in terms of ideas and things that are working. Have you kind of found that to be the case in terms of, you know, you tell them here are some ideas, and they're like, well, yeah, we did this and this, and you find out this other stuff that maybe you didn't know about?
Absolutely. And that, I think, has been just the biggest blessing within the work, is seeing how the Holy Spirit is working within our parishes to make disciples, to further evangelize the community. I get to hear about a lot of the summer events, or even just those one-on-one conversations that an evangelization contact person has. I've had the fortune to talk with priests from different deaneries and just hearing different ways that they've approached evangelization. And there's definitely that consensus of sending out the parishioners and having them invite the community into the faith.
I think it's really fascinating to hear how it wasn't too long ago in Mass we heard the scripture about, you know, one body but many gifts and many parts of the body. And it's really neat to see, and I'm sure you see that in your work, Ken, as well, just how everyone's doing different things, but it's all kind of moving the dial in terms of getting people into a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about yourself. It wasn't really a question, but you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Well, no, you know, life is a team sport, and ministry
is
definitely kind of an organic effort as far as different people fulfilling different roles by God's grace. But no, I've been blessed to do church-related work for almost 25 years. All kidding aside, I did start relatively young.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
As a high school religion teacher who really wanted to work with youth during that very important transitional time in their life. But I've worked in catechesis and evangelization for many years. And I would say in recent years, certainly Catholics have always talked about discipleship, but it's almost like we've sort of rediscovered how helpful talking about discipleship is to the work of evangelization. Because again, it's about a relationship. So, and really, if you think about it, a person who has that disciple relationship with Jesus really hungers for catechesis. Mm-hmm. The reason we do catechesis in the first place, it's not just to teach interesting but odd facts about God. Mm-hmm. It's because one of the main ways that our Lord speaks to us is in sacred tradition, mm-hmm. in the teaching of His church. In a nutshell, I've been blessed to do this work for a long time, and certainly when you're working in catechesis and evangelization, you have to be a disciple, and you really have to help others be disciples and make disciples.
As you were talking, I made a note here, and I learned two things. First, I don't know how to spell very well. when I give you the word, I challenge anybody to spell it correctly. But I was wondering the difference between evangelizing and proselytizing. That's the word I had a little problem with. Yeah. One has got a very positive connotation. The other one, kind of a negative connotation. What's the difference?
Yeah, and it's interesting. People sometimes confuse the two for all different kinds of reasons and motives. But I would say, simply put, proselytizing is when you're trying to draw someone into a way of life that you espouse, but you're placing undue pressure on them of some sort, or maybe you're being manipulative in a negative way. Make no mistake about it, evangelization is also about inviting people into mm-hmm. a relationship mm-hmm. and really a way of life. Mm-hmm. But it always respects the dignity and the God-given freedom that people have. I would say, though, in my experience, sometimes people use that word proselytism as an excuse not to evangelize. They'll say, because our culture puts a lot of pressure on us, right. You know, not to talk about God, you know, too much, if at all, especially in public settings. So if you're a person who says, well, I don't want to talk about my faith, or I don't want to invite people into the relationship that I have with Jesus because I don't want to proselytize, I would just challenge you maybe to think twice about that. And if you're not pressuring or manipulating, you're just sharing.
Okay. That's our spelling word of the day, proselytize.
Exactly. Well, I have my Mr. Rogers sweater on, so it's the word of the day. You know.
So I think we're going to need to take a break here, but I do want to mention that I do think that there is kind of a generational difference in the idea of evangelization and sharing our faith, because I think for people that are maybe, I don't know what the age range would be, maybe 60 to 80, maybe even a little younger than that, but talking about your faith, because people, Catholics really were, I know my parents or my mom in particular talked about being kind of discriminated against, you know, being Catholic, you know, it wasn't, you know, you didn't want to talk about it. And it was, I think it's when you're being discriminated against, it's really hard to, you know, evangelize if, you know, you're going to be hammered. I don't know what the right word is, but you know what I'm saying? If you're going to be marginalized in some way. But with that note, let's take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk about how people can go forth and share the gospel when we come back.
Renewing minds.
Got my eyes off my worries and onto God.
Transforming lives.
It's amazing that one word can just transform you, that word that you want to hear.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Most of us like to keep up on what's going on in the world and try to catch a little news each day. Did you know that you can catch the very latest Catholic news right on our website? We have news from Rome, from around the world, and here at home, updated every day so you always know what's going on from a Catholic perspective. Check it out. Go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and look for the Catholic news headlines. There's always something new at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Just a reminder, Catholic Radio is listener-supported. If you haven't joined our family of donors yet, you can do so online at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and we're here with Ken O'Gorick, the Director of the Office of Catechesis, and Teresa Inouye, an apprentice at the Office of Catechesis in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And we're talking about discipleship. And coming back here, I want to talk about what did Jesus do how did Jesus disciple others? And then how can we learn from that and apply that to our lives? So, Teresa, let's start with you. How did Jesus disciple? What were his methods, maybe?
Absolutely. When we look at Christ's time, he definitely speaks to the larger crowds, right? You see he's speaking to the masses. But if we look at his life more particularly, we look at the 12 apostles and we look at that intentional smaller community. And even then, he breaks off with a couple more and then has miracles and intimate conversations with the one another. I think that smaller community is something that we need to not take for granted. We have family member, we have friends, we have coworkers who can be invited into that smaller community, and just being able to work with them and to disciple them towards Christ. We also look at that entry point of an invitation. Christ says, come follow me. And we should be allowing others to follow Christ by inviting them into the fold. And then that process of accompaniment, we see that Christ is walking with the other, both in the good times and the bad, but listening through, but walking towards holiness. And we can be listening to our brothers and sisters and hearing kind of the woes and sufferings and not letting those go by the wayside, but always encouraging them back to the place of grace, which is in Christ.
I think something that is a big buzzword, I think, in our time in terms of discipleship is the word intentional, and also holiness. You almost really have to be having had the encounter yourself, and then to make the decision that you are going to have an intentional holy life, I guess. And you have to really plan for that. You know, you have daily prayer, frequency in the sacraments, Ken.
Well, just like any relationship, you know, a lot of times I'll use a marital analogy. You know, a married couple that has a solid relationship, there are things they're going to do every day in terms of communicating with each other. You know, there are habits that we develop because a relationship is important to us, and certainly our relationship with Jesus is no different. Regarding relationships and sort of smaller, more intimate approaches, here's another vocab word for you, Jim. spiritual multiplication, okay, is really a powerful way of discipling and helping people make disciples. So I'll give a quick explanation.
Yeah, I was
and maybe
ask
an example.
You.
So in a nutshell, what the concept of spiritual multiplication boils down to is that I'm going to connect with a relatively small group of people on a regular basis for a finite stretch of time, you know, and we're going to disciple each other. We're going to kind of go through a process of helping each other grow in discipleship. The understanding is it's not like when that multi-week period is over, we're never going to speak to each other again, but we're going to be very intentional. There's that word about each of us going out and maybe gathering another small group of folks, 3-4 folks, and doing the same thing. So small group ministry in churches is great, and it means different things to different people. And again, there's nothing wrong with having an enduring connection to a small group of people in your parish. But spiritual multiplication takes that both-and approach of it's almost like there used to be a shampoo commercial about you'll use this shampoo and you'll tell two friends and they'll tell two friends and so on and so on and so on. And before you know it, the whole screen is filled up with faces of people who have had this. So, and I would just mention one in particular. There's different programs out there that help with this.
Mm-hmm.
One of the newer ones, it's called Discipleship Quads. Steubenville Discipleship Quad specifically. It's not the only approach out there, but it's a recent one for Catholics. And quads is what it sounds like. It's, let's start with 4 people, myself and 3 others, and we'll go through a program with some help with the resources that this program provides. But after a certain period of time, guess what? Each of those 4 people is going to go out and get 3 more people and kind of help disciple each other.
And I don't know if either of you have been involved with FOCUS, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, or had a chance to go to the recent SEEK conference. But that is such a good example of, you know, making disciples with Curtis Martin's new book. We had him on here a couple times. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing how in 20 years, they have had such an immense impact, and how we can use, it's basically the model of Jesus, Jesus's discipleship of multiplication, basically what you just said, Kent. So how do people get started? You know what I'm saying? I mean, is it, and in your experience, you know, there's different entry points into the into this relationship with God.
Sure. Now, a lot of our listeners would say, well, gee, I go to church every Sunday. I stay for the whole hour. And isn't that enough? What do I do from there?
That's a good question, Jim.
Definitely. the continued sacraments. That's always kind of the key point, is we get that grace nourished. And then going out into the community, is there, once again, people that you know? Other ways are like listening to Catholic Radio Indy. Like there are ways to learn about the faith. And when you know about the faith, then you're able to hand it on more effectively. Ken, do you have any other ways?
I don't want to negate, you know, if people are going to Mass every week, that's phenomenal, of course. I wouldn't want people to feel like they're somehow not being good disciples if they're not, you know, plugged into an organized effort of some sort. Having said that, though, there are ways that individuals can become a little more intentional about discipleship conversations. Again, as Teresa said, there are all kinds of people in our life, our circle of friends and family and neighbors and so forth. On a broader scale, one thing we're doing in the Archdiocese is we're encouraging each of our 126 parishes to have what we would call a parish evangelization team. Sometimes people say that evangelization is everyone's job, and that's true, but sometimes when something is everyone's job, it quickly becomes no one's job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're encouraging folks to have a small team of people who is really going to focus on discipleship and really, in a sense, keep it on the front burner of other ministries in the parish as well, to make sure that in addition to whatever else it is we're doing, we're talking about our disciple relationship with Jesus, and we're constantly inviting people to enter more deeply into that relationship with Him.
And I think a lot of our listeners and just Catholics in general are doing this just by living their life. You know, it's not like something out there that they have to do maybe that's different or unique. I think it's just living a life of holiness, and then people will see you. They will notice you.
Yeah.
And if you have like a signpost, like a Bible or a rosary or a cross on your keychain, yeah, I think people notice that and they start looking at you and watching you.
Sure. Even pictures in your home or a crucifix on the wall at your home.
I'm feeling a little ornery today, though, because again, I want to say sometimes, I mean, everything you're saying is true, but sometimes that becomes a cop out for people not to have those faith related conversations.
Right.
So all of those things can invite people into a conversation, but you almost have to have an elevator speech or, you know, St. Peter says, we must always be ready to give a reason for our hope, you know?
Inviting people, you know, or, you know, this is why I have this on here. You know,
precisely.
You open up the door.
Right,
And the last thing we hear at Mass is to what?
Yeah, go forth and proclaim the gospel, yeah.
And so every we get fed and we go out and we have to actually take some action.
Right, precisely.
Is what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So we have about 3 or 4 minutes left here. What is helpful for people, would you say? Is there a single thing that helps them to be a disciple? I mean, obviously, having another person to kind of do this with, you know, kind of a support group. I mean, encouragement, you know what I mean? But is there, I guess, 2 questions. Is there a certain entry point that's been really successful in terms of encountering God in a more personal way? And then 2, what helps people become a disciple? So, I mean, for me, it was Christ Renews His Parish, Curcio. Others have different experiences. Is there something that's been particularly fruitful that you've been aware of in the last maybe 5 years?
Something, I mean, even within the last 18 months of being here in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, I found that the parish really is kind of a great entry point. I mean, that's, we have the sacraments there, we have that community. And within the Archdiocese, we talk about our 126 parishes, but we're trying to have a designated evangelization contact person for every parish, and these are the people that are receiving resources. If you are within the parishes, there should be somebody that's reaching out and looking for people to further on that call of evangelization. I know the pastors look to these individuals with a lot of trust to help make disciples within the parish. But yeah, getting involved and plugged into the parish. I mean, you were talking about some wonderful programs and just smaller church communities.
But it's right, it's right there at your parish.
Yes.
You don't really have to go anywhere or do anything special. Just get plugged into your parish, right?
Yeah, and just a finer point, a lot of these retreat and renewal experiences that we've been talking about are wonderful, but we always have to include that dimension of outreach. And you know, lately we hear the phrase missionary disciple. You know, we don't plug into these things just to have a group that we feel comfortable with, or
purpose is to go out.
Right. Precisely. Yeah. So just kind of adding that ingredient to what we're saying.
It's definitely important. Now, are there any resources? We have about a minute left here, less than that, that people listening could go to that maybe think about to get started?
Yeah, I would say, and I know we have listeners from at least two dioceses, actually more,
you
know, through the internet and what have you, but certainly folks in the Lafayette Diocese should reach out to their diocesan offices to find out what resources and strategies they're recommending. In our diocese right now, because evangelization and catechesis are so closely connected, folks can really just go to archindy.org/catechesis. That's our office's website, and there they will start to see some resources. They can email evangelization@archindy.org,
okay,
and that'll come right to us. Or if all else fails, you know, I'm pretty easy to find. At least just give me a call, you know.
Okay, well, that sounds great. We're out of time. My guests today have been Ken O'Gorick, the director of the office of catechesis for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and Teresa Inouye, an apprentice in the office of catechesis. Thanks so much for being our guests today.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
God bless.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400. Or email Jim@CatholicRadioIndy.org.